You and forever, you're a hero in this city. Forever, that's an association. What's funny is, you know, there are people listening to this right now who are like, wait, Michael Strahan played on the Giants? Like, he was a Super Bowl champ, because they know you as Michael Strahan of GMA, man, yeah. and of TV fame. This career.
Michael and Kelly.
Yeah, you. I mean,
that was my favorite show for a while. Yeah. I was off of there. Now I don't watch the
Now
shit.
You're off it. Now
I'm off the shit.
Now you're on GMA, man. This guy just like,
and both of them are off of it.
but that's a compliment though. I remember when I was playing, when you first start playing, and people like, you're a football player, you're like, yeah. But then after 7 or 8 years of playing, and people like, oh, you must be a football player. To me, I was like, I almost feel like that's the only thing you feel like I can do. I got to be a football player. I'm a big black dude.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's
right. I can't just be a big black guy.
People come ask you like, who you play for? I don't play for nobody.
That's what I say.
I'm a fucking surgeon. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just, it's crazy.
It's like you get put into a box.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yo, Michael Strahan here. I'm hanging out with R2C2, Ryan and CC. If you don't know, now you know. Make sure you watch and you listen and you pay attention, because we're spitting this knowledge. Holla at you, boys.
Some teammates I know that have everything that still won't fucking pass.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
I know teammates that, like, you know.
Because in a sense, though, even with some friends, you know it's going to even out at the end. I'm going to pay now. You're going to take care of it later. But when somebody doesn't even attempt, and you know they got it, that's kind of piss poor.
I'm glad that we're rolling now, because, Michael, this is the portion of the program where we make CC name names when it comes to those teammates. who those teammates are, man, I know. That's no good. You got to be careful.
Maybe when I'm done playing, I can, you know.
That's it?
Write a New York Times bestseller. Name and name the cheap bastards.
Exactly. That could be the name of your book, The Dudes Who Don't Pay. I know it would be in the first chapter, but I won't say it.
That you?
Oh, yeah. No.
He's your teammate right now, man.
That's you. Manny Ramirez.
Yeah?
Manny's number one.
Manny doesn't pay, huh?
Yeah. He don't pay shit.
Wow.
Why?
He's number one.
Do you think you don't have to pay? You shouldn't have to pay?
I think guys just think that they don't have to. You know what I'm saying?
Like, but in what world do you live in?
Not him, but like some of the other guys that I be around, they just like, you know, hey, you'll get that. But even like little coffees and shit, like where some of the guys go out to get you stuff, like, they feel like they should pay for that. It's weird. It's the craziest shit ever. Like
coffees, man.
Yeah, you know, like little stuff that, like, when you're around spring training or during the season, you have guys go get you stuff, and
Can you run up, grab me a sandwich from the
Stuff? And go, you give them the money.
Yeah, go to Starbucks and give me something. Or, hey, you going to Starbucks? Yeah, grab me this and that.
Yeah.
At least offer to pay.
And you give them the money and you let them keep the change. You know what I'm saying? Because they're going out to get it. But, like, some guys know.
Well, I know. I can say this because I'm friends with a lot of the Yankees clubhouse guys. CeCe has a reputation for being incredibly generous.
Oh, those are my guys, though, man. You know, I'm always. Yes. That was the first thing I learned. Like, when
CeCe going to take care of the Uber to get me back home.
That's it. Yes, he is, man. Yes. Now, Michael, you're a Houston guy. So, I mean, but you've been in New York a long time. How is that ALCS for you, man?
No, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. And you're going to get mad at me, but I was pulling for the Yankees because I've been here longer than Houston.
Oh, that's great. I thought you for sure you were
I was pulling for the Yankees. But then when the Yankees lost, I had to pull for Houston.
Yeah, sure.
And then I was still a little torn. I spent so much time in L.A. too. But, you know, Houston went through so much.
Yeah.
This was like a crazy year for them. And when they won, I was happy, man. Everybody from L.A. was like, oh, game seven sucked. I'm like, yeah, because you were a Dodger fan, fool.
Right. If you were George Springer, game seven was pretty fun.
Exactly.
I was happy for Carlos and, you know, Mac and those guys. And obviously what they went through in the city, you know, having that tough time with the hurricane. So it was great to see them, you know, the city kind of rally around that team. And you know,
I'm curious, though, CC, being the pitcher, the career that you're having, when you are watching somebody else pitch, are you like, oh, man, I could have thrown that fastball better. I could have curveball with it.
Most of the time, I'm like, damn, I could have hit that pitch. Like, I'm always thinking I could get a hit. You know what I'm saying?
This dude thinks like a hitter.
I'm seriously thinking I can hit. So I'm always like, fuck, man, I know I can get a hit off this dude.
Do you practice hitting, though?
I mean, sometimes, like, for interleague, we get the hit for, like, a week or two. That's the funny
part.
But
do you practice? Do you go up there and batting practice?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. For like a week or two throughout the season, we get the hit, like when it's interleague. That's the funnest part.
Because
like, baseball player, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get the hit, you run the bases. And
I saw some pitchers, man, they just close the eyes and just let it rip.
Some of them hate to do it too. Like it's you know.
No, this is CeCe. You know, like most pitchers, obviously they want run support in all their starts. But when CeCe is hitting, he wants nobody on base when he gets up. So he doesn't want to, because he doesn't want to bunt.
No.
He doesn't
want
to bunt.
I don't want nobody on base.
So he's rooting for the guys in front of him to get out so he can hit. That's it, man.
I hate when guys get a hit in front of him. I'm like, fuck, man. You're going to make me bunt. I'll see Joe with the signs and shit. You know,
I'm seriously, like, when you retire, I'm recruiting you to play on my softball team
I'm
in the
there.
City.
I'm there. I want to play first base.
You do, play first
he's
base.
He's going to play for a year or so. Yeah. And then he's going to be like, man, I'm not doing this old like fantasy football. I don't do that because I did reality.
Yo,
I
ain't so doing out that. Of shape to be a position player, though. I played a couple years ago in a softball game. I played first base. And I couldn't make it through six innings. I was standing out there. I was like, fuck that. Like, my back was hurting. Calves on fire and shit.
I bet you
like,
hit bombs, though, in softball,
man. You play baseball?
I used to play baseball, man.
You can hit?
Yeah.
A little bit?
I had a little league record for home runs in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Yes,
really? Yeah. Do you remember how many you hit?
Quite a few.
Yeah. Did you have the trot down around the bases?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, I bet you used that huge kid at 12, too, right?
The weird thing is, though, I didn't like attention. And I would get up to bat, and all I would hear, come on, Michael, you don't run. And it's like, okay. And I would do it. But even in football, when I was 7, 8 years old, I played 2 years in North Carolina, Fort Bragg. I had to cry the entire game.
Really?
Quite a time. I'm not talking about like, I'm the, you know, the ugly cry where your parents be like, shut up, boy, if I give you something to cry about when you're getting a whipping, that kind of cry. But I cried, I couldn't stand the attention. I didn't like, I was a good player, great player, make plays, I do all this stuff, and all these parents are clapping and cheering, and I hated it.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And even now, it still gets me now. Like, I walk the street and people are like my eye, and you know a lot of guys like that.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah,
a lot of guys like that.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I'm always like head down and people probably think, oh man, he's an asshole. Yeah. No, not that. I'm just shy in that way.
You're uncomfortable with it.
I'm uncomfortable with it. I just kind of like doing what I do and I like being good at stuff.
When did you get over that as a kid though?
Like, I'm still not over it. As an adult, I still get shy like that. But now I understand why.
Yeah.
That I just I'm not that attention seeker. I just like to do good stuff.
Yeah.
That's probably what makes you great too. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
You just like into your work or your craft or whatever it is, whether it's TV or it's
fun, man. My life is fun. Yeah. To be honest with you.
It looks fun, Michael. It looks really great. It does.
Went out on top with the ring. You can't even write it better.
I always think if we didn't win,
would you have came back?
I think I would have probably tried to get
you would have had to get one more.
One more try at it.
And you know what it is when you get that close too. Like if you would have got that close and not won.
Well, I did, 2001, but I was young then.
Yeah.
We got the Ravens, so I was like, okay, you know
You'll
what?
Be back.
We'll be back.
Which
the next year you're going to be back. Next thing you know, it was, what, six, seven years later.
I still say, and Michael, I grew up and am a diehard Giants fan, right? I still say if that bogus holding penalty wasn't called against Keith Hamilton in that game, whole game's different.
Yeah, you know your football. Yeah, that was just a crap penalty, man.
Awful, man.
That was so bad. Because then, you know, Armstead gets the interception, takes it back for a touchdown. You don't trust your quarterback enough to do all the stuff they were allowing him to do.
It was 7-7 game then.
Our offense was still scared as hell.
Oh, my gosh. But you remember, like, those days, what was crazy is, like, my childhood as a Giant fan, it was like the defense was great. The offense was terrible. And it was, like, always public how much the defense was, like, annoyed with the – like, you guys had – I remember Armstead, like, would have no problem just lashing out against the
You guys
the
never
offense.
Had a quarterback, really, either, huh? Like, Kerry Collins.
Kerry Collins could throw the ball, man. That cat, the big dude, he could make any throw possible. We had Danny Cannell.
Dave Brown
Kent
for a lot
Brown,
of
– yeah. Dave Brown.
Oh, man.
Dave Brown was funny, man. Dave Brown took over for Phil Sims.
Yeah.
And they took him in a supplemental draft, first round out of Duke. And he would throw so many picks, man. And, you know, I like Dave Brown, but I'm like, as a person, but he wasn't a good NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
and so he leaves the Giants, he goes and plays against the Arizona Cardinals. Plays with the Cardinals, and we're playing against the Cardinals, and I remember Keith Hamilton, Hammer. Every time we played the Cardinals, guaranteed if Dave Brown got in the game, oh, they're going to be 15 yard roughing the passer. And I was like, Hammer, what you doing, man? Oh, man, no. That dude cost me years off my career throwing all the picks. Keep me out there on that field like that. I'm going to get his ass.
He's going to feel this shit.
every game, guaranteed, man, he would try to kill Dave Brown.
That's amazing. We have to go back and look that up for the archives. Hilarious. That's incredible. You know, see, I always, like, when I think about Super Bowl 42, which is, I mean, I feel like for Giants fans, it cannot get better than that moment. That moment is just, it's perfect. Yeah. It's perfect, right? But I always think about the shot, and this is where NFL Films is so great, with you on the sideline, 17-14. Believe it, and it will happen. One touchdown, and we will win. So did you really believe it, as you were saying
it? Hey, man. I like, this is my last choice, damn it. Get on the horse and get out there and score some points. You know, it's weird because my dad, the whole week, my dad has become more religious as he's gotten older, which is a great thing. And so my dad's always like, oh, but the week of the game, you guys have won it already. You just got to go out there and go through the formality, claim it, and you got it. And I, the whole time, like, yeah, whatever, Dad. You know, you haven't seen the Patriots on film. They've been whipping everybody's ass.
You seen Randy Moss?
Yeah, you seen Randy Moss. And they beat us the last game of the season. Did you see that, too? But he's giving me the whole claim it, and it's yours, it'll happen, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. We go down after playing our asses off, man. Like, that team was scoring 30, 40 points a game.
Yeah.
We're hitting Tom Brady so much that we're looking around going, is this real? Like, what, they tripping? What's going on? Like, this shouldn't be this
y'all was
easy.
Crushing
to hit
him
this
that game.
I've never seen a quarterback beat up like
and
that.
If I'm not hitting him, I'm looking going, damn, Osi, damn, Tuck, damn, Kavika, damn, AP. Like, everybody's hitting this guy so often that you were starting to feel like, man, something's off.
Yeah.
But then, and you never really saw, you see Tom, like, off his game. Never see him really upset on the field. But when he started cursing his linemen, when he started slamming the ball, when he started, one of my favorite pictures is after I sacked him and I'm standing there flexing.
It's a great
and
picture.
OC, and he's laying on his back with the ball by him. I like, it's on my wall. And he's my boy. Like, we've been working together now. I want to ask him to sign it.
No, you have to 100% get him to sign that.
I got
to
make sure we're in a good place. We're good now. I got to make sure we're in a great place.
That man got 4 or 5 rings. He'll sign that. He can't be mad at that.
So, but when I said that, speaking to those guys, I wanted them to believe what I was told to believe the whole week.
Yeah.
Like, yo, it ain't over.
Right.
Don't quit. We got another shot. We score one. This is it. One touchdown, we're world champion. Believe it's going to happen. Just got to believe it's going to happen. Then Eli, man, is clumsy. Eli can't run. We all know that. That's not his thing. He's a great two touchdowns, two Super Bowls. I mean, how many quarterbacks? Everybody gives his kids such a hard time. They go, Eli, this. Eli's never been a lot of these things they want him to be right now. He's never been able to run. He's never been mobile. He's never been this thing. He's the kind of guy, if you give him a time, if you give him talent, he's going to make something happen. Especially he excelled in big games where you got a lot of quarterbacks who are great, but in a big game, they can't play worth a damn.
Right.
So Eli's the opposite of that. So, but he's clumsy. And he gets out of the sack.
That shit was crazy, man.
It was unbelievable.
That was unbelievable.
Dude. It's like you throw a pitch and a cat hits it and you're like, oh my God, it's a home run. And you realize, oh no, here goes the whole his World Series. Like, oh my God, Eli gets back. There goes the damn Super Bowl. Oh, then he gets out of it.
And then just threw a bomb, though.
I know, man.
And then he just launched the fucking ball. Like,
what did they say? Don't throw the ball to the middle of the field.
He just launched it.
And he launched it up. So I went from no to yeah to no. And he throws it to David Tyree, man.
Oh.
I mean, I'm going to grab you off the soundboard, man. I think I'd throw it to you and feel more confident than I would go feel with David Tyree.
Carl Scott, he has good hands, man. He has good hands.
David dropped every ball in practice, every ball on Friday in practice, every ball. We were yelling, beat him up, ball, because the ball was popping him in the chest, in the head, everywhere. And then Coughlin was like, leader, get a guy a break. You know? But the guy went up and grabbed it, held it on his helmet, never seen anything like it.
That was
but even
incredible.
After he made that catch, I realized we won the game.
Yeah, it was over after that.
We hadn't even scored nothing, but I was like, we won the game at this point.
But even when you lined up for that last play and you seen Plaxico out there one-on-one, I was like, this is over.
Yeah.
He's about to throw it up. It's a wrap. Like, what are the Patriots doing?
You
like,
got a legit 6'5" guy.
Yeah. Like, it's a wrap. Like,
I remember I was at the game as a fan, and I remember that moment, like, I saw Burris separate, and I was like, that you know that feeling where you like it finally hits you like, oh my gosh, they're gonna win this. Man. Like, this is gonna be a championship for my and when he was that open, it was just like that moment of like, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe he just got that open. I cannot believe this is gonna happen. Yeah, but the funny thing is, you guys, like at that point, you were the better team. Like in that game, you were the better team.
Well, football, it's like you got one shot.
Yeah.
We may not be the best. If we had to play them three or four more of the time, you know, best of five or whatever, I don't know if it's not going to happen in that way. At least I don't feel that way. But for that one day and that one game,
and with the defense that you have, football is like that. You know what I mean? Look at the Broncos over the Panthers a couple years ago.
It was defense.
2000 with the Ravens. It's defense.
Yeah.
Defense can win you championships in football. It's crazy because you only got to play one game. You know?
And you got to suck it up for one. And then we they get the ball back.
Yeah.
So it wasn't over. And then anytime you got Randy Moss, you got Brady. And I never remember Jay, defensive tackle, comes in the game. He's filling in for Fred Robbins or something.
Alfred.
He was like a rookie. I think Alfred may have been a rookie at that point.
I think he was,
So Jay comes in, and Jay's got a sleepy eye. He may have gotten it fixed. I think he got it fixed now. Jay had a sleepy eye.
He took that championship bonus.
I love Forrest, but like they say, you take Dayquil and Nyquil at the same time. So he don't get me in trouble, man. So Jay comes in the game filling in for Fred, and it's such a hype moment because it's like, oh my God, it's all the fans, everybody's going crazy, and Jay doesn't know what to do, and he's looking at me, and one eye is going this way. He's like, what do I do? Because he don't know the play or nothing. I'm like, just go straight, man, just go straight. Like I'm yelling at him, just go straight. Next thing you know, Pike come around the corner, Brady, poof. This kid ran straight through the guard, sacked the hell out of Brady, like depleted him.
He did deplete him.
And then he gets up excited, and I don't know, I'm like, yo, and he's like looking all over the place. Like those are like the memories that I'm
amazing, man.
That is awesome.
It's great. It's so great. And you could tell, like, I know Giants fans as they're listening to this right now, like, you will never get enough of that moment. You know, like, you can never get enough of that moment. What do you remember most about the aftermath, the championship celebration and the days after that?
Oh, man. You know, the parade is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you remember the confetti on the field because I've been to where the confetti fell in 2000, but that was for somebody else. Mm. So they kind of start sweeping you off with the confetti, like, you know what I mean? And here it's like the confetti falling. You're like, oh, my God, it's actually falling for us. And I'll just never forget Bradshaw giving us the trophy and now working with him and reminding him that none of those guys on that show picked us to win. And you hold a grudge. You're damn right I do. And, but then the parade, because the parade, when you're going down the Canyon of Heroes, and everybody, you can see all the confetti and all the people, but you can't see how deep it is. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you know, when you're there, you can, but from like the pictures and stuff. But when you see it, it's a block or so deep of people, and plus all the people who line, it's unbelievable. The people out of the windows. And then to give a speech in town hall down there, down at town hall, and to be able to do the most stomp you out one last time.
Yeah.
like stuff like that I'll never forget. And we just had our 10-year reunion this year. And just to see the guys, man. And Tom Coughlin had an award show for the team, and I accepted the award for everybody, but most of the players were there, and I had everybody stand up, and you know, a lot of guys like, yeah, you know, show me that love. And I was like, yeah, I didn't want y'all to show up, stand up to get the love. I wanted y'all to stand up so I could see who let themselves go.
It's been 10 years.
It's been 10 years. Some of y'all look like, ooh, boy, what happened in your life?
That's amazing. And you know what that's like with the parade down, just like looking down the streets when you're coming through the Canyon
of Heroes.
The parade
was incredible.
Dude,
that was a crazy experience.
Once you went here, and CeCe, the way, I mean, forever here in New York.
Yeah, when you, for here in New York, when you win, and I mean, Giants, Yankees, like, you know, it's a forever thing. You know, people remember that all the time. Like, oh, thank you for this, blah, blah, blah. You know, you never forget that.
So. Right, exactly. You and forever, you're a hero in this city. Forever, that's an association. What's funny is, you know, there are people listening to this right now who are like, wait, Michael Strahan played on the Giants? Like, he was a Super Bowl champion? Because they know you as Michael Strahan of GMA, man, and of TV fame. This career.
Michael and Kelly.
Yeah, you. I mean,
that was my favorite show for a while. Yeah. I was off of there. Now I don't watch the
Now
shit
you're off it. Now
I'm off the shit.
Now you're on. Now you're on GMA, man. This guy just like you
both of us are off of it.
but you know, but that's a compliment, though. I remember when I was playing. When you first start playing, and people like you're a football player. And you're like, yeah. But then after 7 or 8 years of playing, and people like, oh, you must be a football player. To me, I was like. Almost feel like that's the only thing you feel like I can do. I got to be a football player. I'm a big black dude.
I can't just be. I can't just be a big black guy.
People come ask you like, who do you play for? I don't play for nobody.
That's what I say.
I'm a fucking surgeon. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
It's like you get put into a box.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when people come up after 7 or 8 years, oh, you must be a football player. It used to bother me, man.
Yeah.
It used to eat me to my core because I'm like, I'm more than that. You know what I'm saying? So now. When people forget that I played, I have so many guys come up and say, hey, man, I love you at the job. My wife, I'm watching, you know, Fox, and she's like, why is Michael Strahan talking about football? Well, honey, you know Michael Strahan played football. And she's like, oh, I had no idea. To me, it's an ultimate compliment.
Yeah.
To be able to go from one career to another career and not say, I don't want anybody to forget that.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes even I forget it because it just seems like it's been so long ago. But I don't want anybody to forget it, but I just want – people to realize that, you know, life goes on.
Yeah.
You don't get stuck in what you're not what you do, first of all. And if I don't want to get stuck in just being this football player, I got to just always be the football player because life is long and that career is so short that I always wanted to do other stuff. Other stuff was interesting to me.
Yeah.
And you had your show right after. You had a TV show right after you played,
TV
too,
show,
right?
Yeah, no, nobody saw it.
I did. I watched it.
Brothers.
The brothers,
Yeah.
Me and Daryl Chill Mitchell.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers, who played Apollo Creed, was my dad. CCH Pounder played my mom. So it was a great show. A lot of fun.
It was a fun show.
Yeah,
dude, this dude has seen every show of all time. It's unbelievable, man. There's nothing CC misses. Like, literally nothing.
That's what I do.
It's impressive. Yeah, he's going to be on you, man. So you get, I mean, with GMA, I mean, you get access to, and you know, same thing when you're doing Michael and Kelly and in this career, you get access to people from all walks of life. Wow. And you're doing all these amazing interviews, whether they come through the studio or you're going and doing all these sit downs as well. Who is somebody who it was, I don't know if you were starstruck, but like somebody who really you connected with or resonated with you that you were like, wow, that was an amazing experience. And I'm sure there's more than one, but who's one that really stands out to you?
Man, I think the first time I was like, oh, wow, this is real cool, was I was at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel in L.A., and I interviewed Julia Roberts.
Wow.
Who did Pretty Woman there. It was like the 20th anniversary or whatever it was of that movie. But just to sit there and go, and she starts laughing, and she's got that smile, and I'm like, oh, shit. This is Julia Roberts. But it's like you get moments like that. But now, not so much.
Yeah.
But it's cool because I get to, you know, all these people I admire.
Yeah.
And then some people I'm just interested in. Maybe I don't admire you. I don't know. But maybe you're something interesting about you. Maybe something I don't. I just want to see you in person. I want to hear you in person. I want to see if you're as convicted as you may claim to be in certain different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one thing that GMA has done, it's made me more aware of the world.
Mm.
It made me more aware of politics. It's made me more aware of just everything that goes on every day. And that is the toughest thing about it is that it's totally out of the box. But the most exciting thing about it is that is completely out of the box. And I love doing this stuff because I'm not supposed to be able to. You know, I'm not supposed to be able to.
It's all fun. It's all extra, huh? Yeah.
Like, you know, I go to work and it's like, oh, you know what? I've been beat up for 15 years. That's work.
Yeah.
If I got to talk for a living, if I would tell my dad, you know, Dad, I'm tired, man. I had to talk for hours.
Had to read up the teleprompter for 45 minutes.
Knock my head off.
That's work right there.
No,
the
you
the teleprompter is the hardest shit ever to do.
Right? Oh. It's tough.
It's hard, man.
And you got to work at it. It's not easy.
That shit's hard.
You got to work.
See, this is going to be.
I feel like you're great at that.
Thank you, man.
You guys doing this, you're great at this, and this is not easy. Yeah. People think it's easy to sit here and just talk.
Yeah,
for an hour or whatever. It's not easy.
No, it's not.
You know what? And you have to, like, what we always talk about is, like, you have to have natural chemistry, right? You have to have relationships with people. Like, when you're on that set on Fox, part of the reason it works is because you guys really have legitimate, natural, not forced, not produced chemistry, right?
I can show you our group text messages.
See?
Yes, that's what we're like, you know?
No, we got the group text message. I'm going to tell a little secret on Jimmy Johnson, but Jimmy Johnson this past week, you know, he and Terry sit around and watch the college football game together, and they eat nachos and all this other junk. But Jimmy decides, after the guacamole had been sitting out for five or 6 hours, he just put it in the refrigerator. The next morning, wakes up, mixes the guacamole with some salsa and gets the chips and eats it. And he always goes on like a 5-6-7 mile walk. Well, a few miles into the walk, the old spoiled guac got over.
Oh,
Jimmy.
No.
So I was like, what'd you do? I Ubered back to the hotel real quick. And so while we're sitting there at the show, in between, when people can't see, we just look at going, okay, if we have to come back and Jimmy's not here, how do we explain to people where he's at? So yesterday, Jimmy left early. Because he had been out there the whole week. So he did our pregame show, and then he left early. And then Tony Gonzalez comes in and fills in for him. And so we had some guac for lunch. We had guac and chips and all that. So I took a picture and put on our group text about, Jimmy, we're gonna save this for you for next week, and we're not even going to refrigerate the guac.
I love it, man.
We just have a good time, and it's sincere. It's real.
Yeah.
I always say we got 8 rings at the table and 0 ego.
That's
nobody
good,
cares,
man.
You know, if time is tight and somebody needs to cut a comment, everybody's like, cut me. I don't care.
Yeah.
And it's not a word count.
That's the best way to make it work, when you actually care about the show first, right?
If the show does well,
everyone does well.
Doing well.
Exactly. 100%. Speaking of, now you're producing shows, too. Yeah. You have Religion of Sports, which you're co-executive producing.
Tom Brady.
Tell me about this, because this seems like a very interesting concept. It's on Audience Network. Right?
Audience Network, okay. AT&T. And it's myself, it's Gotham Chopra, Deepak's son, and Tom Brady.
I'm a big Deepak Chopra guy, by the way.
Yeah, you look
love
very zen, brother.
I try and be. You know, that's why 1714 thing, I'm thinking law of attraction, visualization.
Looking at you, I feel like peace.
See? Good. Then come back, Michael. We'll take you anytime.
I like this, actually.
See?
This is fun.
See? There we go.
But Religion of Sports is, we go around the world, actually, and we find these interesting sports stories. And sports and religion are close. And the way that we look at it, in the sense that you have your parishioners, who are the fans.
Mm-hmm.
You have your cathedrals, which are the stadiums. You have your demigods, who are your athletes, if you want to put it that way. And you've seen people who've had reactions to a giant Super Bowl win, to a Yankees win, to a World Cup soccer victory. You've seen their reactions are very much the same reactions that you see in religion, that these people are so engulfed and so embedded and so invested in it as if it is a religious experience. And so we go around the country, we find all these interesting stories that kind of bring out more of outside the usual, oh, he's a great athlete, and how did he get there? It's like we go into prison to see San Quentin, the prison baseball league.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And for these guys, not they're there for a reason, but to be in prison and to play in this baseball and just their feelings on tour, what that does for them. I mean, we have a soccer league recovering overseas that is a soccer league. It's not even professional league, but it's all refugees who come into a new country, and this gives them a new family, gives them something to invest in. We do fencing, something that I would go fencing.
Fencing.
Fencing. Like, but it is amazing what these different sports and how it ties so much into, you know, the religion, the the heart and soul, the connection for people that makes it bigger than the sport itself. And that's what the series is all about.
That sounds great.
When does it start? Is it out?
It's out right now. You can go stream it all, man. You can go stream it all.
So AT&T Audience Network. And then you're also executive producer of Joker's Wild with Snoop, right?
Yeah, man. Snoop is funny, man.
He's hilarious.
I just had a birthday party last Wednesday.
Oh, yes, by the way, happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
You're a late November guy.
Yeah, November 21st, man.
So do you make it? Are you in Scorpio then?
I'm a Scorpio Sag.
Okay, cool. I'm the 18th of November, so I'm Scorpio, but like.
Yeah, depends on how.
All right, so you know, you're in there.
If you piss me off, see what side of me you get. But Snoop.
That's that 21st. That's that day. That's it, right. Cancer Leo.
Yes, right, right. Oh, yeah, you're right under. Right, you're right on the brink with July.
July 21st.
Oh, yeah. Right on that cusp, man. Yeah. But Joker's Wild is great, too, because it's fun. It's like you just zone out and watch it, man.
Yeah.
And Snoop, it was important. This is an old game show that was, you know, done before.
Right. Like
$100,000 pyramid. It's done before. But this show requires more of the show. Like $100,000 pyramid, the show is the star. You know, I just feed.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for me to – I don't need to take it over. But Joker's Wild – the host has to be like more of the thing.
And he's Snoop, perfect for that.
He's perfect for it. He's laid back. He's cool. And you know, Snoop, everybody wins. Everybody walks away with a little green. Like, what green they walking away with? Like, he's got this coolness, this smoothness about him. And I was just talking to him about it the other day. At first, of course, like everybody is a little nervous trying to fill it out.
Yeah.
And you would think he can just walk up there and do it. But he had to work hard at it, man.
Sure.
Watching rehearsals and sitting in there with them and just saying, hey, this is how you're going to feel. Like, I don't believe in telling anybody how to do their job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you from my experience, like, okay, when I was doing rehearsals, I felt like I didn't need them. But then after doing a few, you're like, oh, yeah, I really need it.
Yeah.
And do it to the point of where when you're in the middle of the game, you don't have to think about the game. Like, I don't have to think anymore about who's got what points and who's up next. It just comes natural.
It comes natural.
And he got to that point where he just felt so comfortable with the show. And it is fun to watch because watching Snoop be Snoop and watching people win money. And I can tell you from experience, it's nothing better truly than giving away other people's money. Not out of my pocket. Win it all.
Take everything.
Take it all.
This is how your teammates feel when you take them to dinner, right?
Like, right. Order everything.
That's it, man. Yeah. Hey, oh, no, CeCe's got it. It's cool. Now, you know, the name of our podcast is R2-C2. You know, Ryan Rucco, CeCe Sabathia, so it works, but also because CeCe and I are big Star Wars fans.
Oh, yeah, now, man. I'm going to see the new one.
You ready for The Last Jedi, man?
Yeah, they got a screening I got to see.
Really?
I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to spoil it for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
But call y'all up. Like, yo, CeCe, man, you see this?
Do you dress up and shit or
no? Hell no, man. CeCe, I'm a grown-ass man. What I'm
this
look
guy's dressing
up. Dress up.
Yeah.
What do you dress up as? Yeah. Darth Vader?
Yeah. You dress up as Vader?
Darth Vader ever, baby.
You are. Last time I went is Darth Vader.
CeCe, come on, man.
I'm that into
it. Hold on. Me too.
But I went to a little tiny-ass theater. It was just like me and like 500 people.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Your kids into it?
My youngest son is into it.
Did he dress up?
He won't dress up. And my wife is embarrassed, so she only go with me like if it's not that many people in the theater.
Yeah, she won't go. Really?
Or you just
so I'm basically on my own.
You sit in another section.
Yeah, but, I'm basically on my own with this.
But you see, you were talking about Deepak Chopra's son. Let me tell you something. Yoda has a lot of wisdom in these movies, man. Star Wars is very much like that next level Zen stuff.
You know what? I got another friend. I got another friend, DJ Scribble. Scribble, the big Star Wars guy. Uh-huh. He dresses up. Whole family's got him dressing up. All three kids, wife, everything else. He's brainwashed him to believe it. But there's no way in hell I'm dressing up. I'm going to go. I'm going to enjoy the movie because I love them. The movies are so well done.
They are.
It's very hard to follow up, you know, keep these things going.
I know,
and to make
man.
People go, no, that was good. Oh, that was great. She was like, oh, that was good. Oh, that was kind of weak.
That was incredible. Yeah.
And Disney's done such a good job taking over the franchise. My gosh,
yeah, but
man.
It's scary, though, because you're a big fan and you're here taking it over. You're like, oh,
damn,
here we go. They're about to ruin this right here.
Right, right.
But they've done a good job. So I can't wait to see the new one.
Yeah, man.
That, and I think, when am I screening that? The 11th. Oh, yeah. When does it come out?
The 15th.
Oh, yeah. 15th. I'll see. I'm going to call you.
You're going the 11th.
Just pointing for y'all.
You got, yeah, seriously. You know, if you have a plus two, CeCe and I, we're just going to be sitting around. You know, we're going to be sitting around.
We'll work on that.
Michael, I know you're
big. But you just can't show up dressed up. I was just about to say that. Don't be dressed up.
That's it. We're going in costume. Michael, I know you're a busy dude, man. I appreciate you giving us this much time,
yes,
man.
Thank you.
Hey, man, I'll be honest with you. I got to come back.
Y'all good.
I had a great time.
That's what we like to hear.
Miller, mark me down. I'm coming
back. There we
back.
Go. Miller, we're coming back for more. All right. We got
R2C2, everybody. Make sure you listen.
There we go, man. Thank you, Michael.
ThePlayersTribune.com.